I'm super cool.
Yeah, you know, your children.
I can't find one.
Were they
as big as a TV?
They were at least in their
place. Oh, boom, right there.
It's a whole actor. Usually it's huge here.
Okay.
Is that a 42-inch?
Flat screen TV.
Oh, no. It's a pro.
It's an iPad Pro.
Dolly's like, oh,
let me see if I can be on this. Oh, boom!
Indeed.
Look at that. What lesson are we on? I even saved you one piece of paper today.
What's the size of a piece of paper?
12.9. Oh, that's a piece of paper. This one's 12.9.
I don't think it's as big as a paper.
It's bigger. The screen itself is
bigger. Oh, no. I guess it's almost that now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. To be fair, it is meant to be like drawn on things. Like,
oh, it
that's,
is.
That's
yeah.
My,
oh.
Yeah. So.
It needs to be charged, but
it doesn't pick up your hand. Like if you put your, you know, you rest your hand on it to draw, it doesn't pick up your hand.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Like the
do you want to play with it?
Yeah, that's way beyond my.
Yeah, I would have never bought that.
That's all presents, really.
Yeah.
It
was,
years since I came out.
Present for my husband.
Present.
Yeah.
He's very good to you.
Yes, he is.
I don't know why.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for loving and blessing us, Lord, especially with Jesus. Help us to be learning the things that you would have us to learn in this class, the various topics that we're talking about. And help us to use these things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today we're talking about fasting, and how many of you have ever fasted? Anybody in here ever fasted?
Like sober?
Huh?
Like sober?
Yeah, like sober.
Well, like when you're little,
oh,
you fast.
Oh, really?
You're not hungry.
Oh, okay. Okay, I
for like a week.
I didn't know that. Okay, sober fasting. Have you ever sober fasted?
I don't know.
So why'd you fast, man?
It was when I had lost my job, and Haley and I were, you know, like, this is really important. We talked about fasting, like, in the biblical sense for years, and it's just one of those things that we felt like we had a hard time getting our hands around and understanding, but we finally felt like we got to a point where we're like, all right, we want to fast and pray about getting a new job, and so we did.
Okay, good. Did you feel satisfied by that?
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience, interesting in a good way. It definitely felt like you had more focus on spiritual things, and that, you know, it was fasting and praying. Like we had kind of a regimented prayer structure throughout. It was just a 24-hour fast,
sure.
But
okay.
Yeah,
you said you fasted before, why did you fast?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to drink water?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Water.
Oh, okay. Full on.
When I was going to the Mormon church, that was kind of I think first Sunday of the month was kind of a fasting Sunday, and so we practiced that for the month.
Okay.
Every first Sunday of the month, you would fast till like 6 in the afternoon, or 6 at night, I guess, and then we'd have our Sunday dinner, and it would be that.
Okay.
So it was kind of teaching us about that, and learning about that, and usually there was kind of, my family would have like a subject, something to fast for, so it wasn't just like arbitrary not eating.
Okay, good. So a couple of points of religious fasting, spiritual type of fasting. I've fasted before, but it was strictly, you know, a dietary thing. Have you heard of intermittent fasting? You've heard of that, right? So, intermittent fasting?
I've heard of it.
Having to do with health. It's something that's promoted by a lot of fitness people, the intermittent fasting for your body for various reasons. But anyways, you know, and that's typically what I think about when I think about fasting, is what's this going to do for my health? And I think that sometimes, you know, if I decided to do it for a spiritual reason, always in the back of my mind would be, you know, how's this going to affect my health? And so I'd probably lose the point for me. But anyways, let's look at some of these, probably most of these passages having to do with fasting, and just get an idea of the significance and really possibly for you whether or not you want to do that. So go first to Zechariah 7 and verse 5. At first I was thinking about having us read the whole chapter, but there's another chapter that kind of goes along the same line and is probably a little bit better chapter. But let's see, chapter 7 and verse 5. Read verse 4 and 5. Somebody.
Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me?
Okay. And when you drink, do you eat for yourselves? You drink for yourselves. It's just kind of a point there, and just thinking about the idea, like I just told you, I've fasted in the past because of health or dietary reasons, and fasting that way, I did it strictly for me. It was strictly for my own benefit. I had no thought of God in that. And that's what he's asking the people there. If we read the whole chapter, we'd find that the people are asking God, you know, should I weep and abstain in the fifth month as I have done for so many years? They're asking God, should I continue to fast? And his response to them is, do you even do it for me? Is it even for reasons of me? And so is your fasting toward God? If you're going to be fasting, are you going to be doing it toward God? Now look at the Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And somebody, go for that.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Okay, so he's talking about the fasting, and Jesus is assuming that they're doing fastings. And when you look, does anybody know about fasting having to do with the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. What do you know?
They do it for a certain amount of time, and they do it. They pick a reason for it.
Okay.
And also, they do something. I don't know if it's with the fasting thing, but they can't eat meat during a certain time frame. Okay. I don't know, like, what's all that about. But,
okay. Yeah. Real fasting is no food, and kind of fake fasting is where you just kind of pick something and you're.
Okay, there you go. You're fasting from a certain meat or a certain desire that you have.
Right. Real fasting, though, from a biblical perspective, is no food.
Okay.
And so when we think about fasting, that's what we're looking at is the idea of no food for a time, and whatever that chosen time might be. And so Jesus is assuming they're doing it. But most of the time that the Jews were fasting for reasons other than sorrow or whatever, their scheduled fastings were mostly designed by the Pharisees and by tradition. That my understanding is that they had one fast day a year. You know what it was?
Say what?
The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the fast day. And so they were specifically supposed to observe the Day of Atonement. What's the Day of Atonement for, basically?
Sins of all the people.
Okay, sins of all the people. They offer specific sacrifices. And so there was a fasting that went along with that idea. It's sorrow for sin and that sort of thing. But most of the fastings that these guys were doing were fastings that they had done by tradition over time. And so when do you get the impression that they're doing in their fasting?
Showing off.
Yeah, kind of showing off. Hey, look at me, I'm fasting.
Look how sad I am and how much I'm sacrificing.
Right, yeah.
I'm
I skipped
so
breakfast
hungry.
So far.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. What have we looked at before that was a showy thing for them?
Pretty much everything they did.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
flashy people.
Wearing frontlets in front of their eyes, broad phylacteries.
I have
like
a quick
that.
Question about sure. showing off. There's this lady that comes to my work, and she always has a cross on certain days on her head. She I don't know what she is. But what's the point of that? It's like a Wednesday.
Seen that.
Every
Sounds like a fall, but that's
a certain time of year where, as far as I understand, in the Catholic religion, that's what you were talking about, Lent, where they take like one thing out and for a certain period of time.
What are you giving up for that?
Do you give up for that exactly? And during that time, I've seen there's actually a couple of Catholics.
I know there was a couple of Catholics or
classmates who had crosses on their head for that too. I think that's the day after Lent, though.
Is that after? I'm not sure.
Or is it the day before Lent? I don't know.
Is that showing off is my point?
Yes.
Like walking around.
Okay.
I feel like it is.
Like if it's prescribed by their religion, you know, it may not be showing off. She may just be obeying. Right.
Okay.
She's told, you need to put a cross on your head on this day. Like, you know,
okay.
She may not be showing off, although maybe the
impression might be.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If she's acting holier than thou, then maybe it's showing off.
No, she's a pretty humble person. Like, she doesn't always her face. But I just feel like it's weird because she's walking around with dirt on her forehead and a cross.
Right. Yeah, and that would be, you know, it's hard to judge the heart of a person, you know, it's hard to judge their particular heart, and especially since that's not something that's given by God anywhere, it makes it really difficult to even relate to the idea that you would, you know, mark your forehead like that and go somewhere. But in this case, what we're looking at is that they were fasting, and they were, it almost sounds funny to say they were showing off, but they're showing off and they're fasting. That look at me, look how spiritual I am, you know, look how dedicated to God I am.
How is that such a spiritual thing if you're not complaining? I don't understand.
If you would.
No.
Well, I think that the passages coming up will kind of tell you what that is.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go down a little bit further. Let's go to Isaiah 58, 1-12. And this doesn't answer your question, but it's kind of a good thought process in the It contradicts the whole being a show-off sort of thing. Isaiah 58, and I'll go ahead and read that. We're going to read the whole chapter. It says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? It is to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go forth before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call me, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then will your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." Okay, so is that meaningful to you at all, having to do with fasting? It kind of shows kind of two different things, that that here you guys are. You say you seek me. You say that you want righteousness, so on and so forth. What does your fasting even mean when it's that? When you fast, I want your mind to be so toward me that you're helping the oppressed, that you're feeding the hungry, that you're doing righteousness, that you're doing righteous things. And so he's throwing out a contrast there between what they're doing, just the ritual, or are they really heart feeling the things that they're, you know, are they really subject to God? Do they really love God and His commandments in doing this? And did anybody get anything else out of that? I kind of like the contrast there. It goes back to, who are you doing it for? Are you doing these things for yourself? Are you fasting for yourself? Or are you fasting for me, God? Okay, so anyways, let's look at some reasons for fasting. Fasting is observed in times of sorrow. Why do you think that might be? Why might there be an automatic fast in a time of sorrow?
Because you're depressed.
Okay, depressed. So you have no hunger,
desire,
right?
Yeah.
A lot of times somebody passes away that's extremely close to you. Maybe you don't have a desire to eat. I don't even know what not having not a desire to eat is all about. But you know, something that affects you so strongly that you're not going to be eating. So this first example is 2 Samuel 1 at verse 12. And this is after Saul and Jonathan are killed. And how important are Saul and Jonathan to David?
Saul's the king and Jonathan is like a brother.
Yeah, Jonathan is like his brother. Saul has been trying to kill David all this time, but David still has serious respect for him, and you can see David's love even for Saul, if for no other reason that he's God's anointed and that he's the father of his dear friend Jonathan. But anyways, 2 Samuel 1, read 11 and 12. Somebody.
Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord and for the nation of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword.
Okay. So you see a natural reason for it, right? You see anything more than a natural reason there?
On top of your papers.
Yeah, I don't know that I do in that passage. But it seems a natural thing. We see very often in the scriptures they tear their clothes. We see it in this case. Sometimes you see it with great hypocrisy, you know, when it came to going against Jesus. But we don't know how those guys really felt. You know, if they really truly felt he was a blasphemer and all that, you can see that. But here we have David and the sorrow that he feels. And this guy, as a matter of fact, that just gave them the news, said he did it. I killed him, and basically, I killed him for you, David. And David, this is how David responds. And even after this, David has this guy killed, because he's killed God's anointed there and all. So anyways, here's a natural reason. It's often a reaction to sorrow of some kind, loss of appetite over the hurt felt in circumstances such as these. So go to chapter 12. This is a little bit different circumstance. Chapter 12 with that same note. And read. I put kind of a long reading here, but I don't want to read it all. Well, let's do it anyway. 15 through 23. Somebody read 15 through 23. And remember, this is after. David he's fornicated or adulterated with Bathsheba. He's gone through the process of having Bathsheba's husband killed, and Nathan has just revealed to him what he's done, and he's overcome with the fact that he's done it. So this starting in verse 15, somebody go for it, 23.
Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm." But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." You said 26? 23. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And when he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped, he then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then a servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was still alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me."
Okay, so I need to read the whole thing, because do you see purpose in his fasting? You see reason and purpose. So what do you think? What things come? I see three different things.
He was trying to change God's mind.
Okay, so he's trying to change God's mind. Do you think he was praying also? He said fasting and weeping. Okay, probably praying with that. And why do you think fasting would matter in that case?
I don't know. I've never really done it.
What do you think fasting would matter? Is that what you're thinking, or?
Yeah, I think that in part it's a humbling. It's, you know, you're denying something, kind of as a sign that